Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If his availability or the quality of his practice participation picks up, maybe we'll consider that.
Classic Mike Tomlin. And he's a strong man. He's a strong personality. He's a longtime football coach, and he's got his ideas. He's also got gut instincts, and he decided he would use one of those gut instincts and believe in what he saw and what he had his confidence in Russell Wilson. And so he decides, called it a solo decision, to start Russ over Justin Fields heading into week 7 Sunday night at home against the New York Jets, who just brought in Devontae Adams and all of a sudden were supposed to make some meteoric rise. Doesn't go that way in the NFL. Or in fact, it rarely goes the way it's supposed to in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. Good to have you with us as you wake up to start your work week. I don't know if it's good or bad to be a New York sports fan on this Monday morning. I think probably a roller coaster of emotions. Maybe the same could be said for, say, Cleveland sports fans, having the Guardian success into the ALCS. I know they lost, but the Guardian success to that point, but also dealing with the failures of the Browns and really an abysmal season in a many different ways. Maybe thinking about LA sports fans and the fact that the Dodgers are on to the World Series, but the Rams are being held together by tooth and nail and duct tape and string, scraping out wins. Of course, the Lakers are about to get underway, father and son, as their act in 2024. So yeah, it's a mixed bag a lot of times for sports fans. Now, not everybody roots for all the teams in their market. So for some sports fans in New York, there's a bit of a break, because you generally root for one football, one baseball, not all of them. But talk about a roller coaster ride of emotions just surrounding the New York teams. A lot of people with high hopes for the Jets, that bringing in Devontae Adams might somehow help their offense. If Aaron Rodgers can stop throwing interceptions, if he can get on the same page with Lazard and Devontae Adams, two former Green Bay Packer teammates, and also Garrett Wilson. If they can continue to use Breece Hall effectively with all of his talent and try to establish that run game. a lot of different ways the Jets could be better. And every week feels like fans turn the page and they get hopeful and they believe somehow this might be it. Well, it's tough against the Steelers defense that takes no prisoners most of the time. Regardless of what the offense looks like, which this was a tough one to start on Sunday Night Football, 6-3 and outs in the first 8 possessions between these two teams. And for a while, looked like offense might be picking up for the New York Jets because Rodgers was using the guys around him.
Steelers crowd the line. Play clock at 7. Rodgers back to throw. Wants to set up the screen. Throws it across his body and it's caught. Breaking a tackle. Breece Hall to the 50. He gets loose at the 40. Makes a move outside. Breaks another tackle at the 30. At the 25-20. Inside the 10. All the way down to the 5-yard line. Boy, get the ball to Breece Hall and let him work his magic.
Oh, Bob Wischusen speaks truth on the Jets radio network. Sets up a touchdown for the Jets. And they're able to lead early in this game. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, fans disgruntled again, still booing about the Steelers' offense. And yeah, it wasn't pretty to start. As Russell Wilson gets this vote of confidence from his head coach, he goes out there and makes his season debut, going 2 of 6 for 19 yards in the first quarter. And the vast majority of those yards came on one catch by Darnell Washington. So it was bad. But I feel like there should be some grace when guys are out there on the field for the first time in the season. He didn't play in the preseason either, and hadn't seen him on the field since before he got benched by the Broncos at the end of last season. So it's been a while that he's been in a game that mattered, in a game with actual defense and guys trying to hit him. I can understand being rusty. But honestly, it was the Jets and their offense that provided the spark for the Steelers to get going, to get rolling, to put the ball back in the hands of Russell Wilson. And yeah, welcome sight for Steelers fans when he finds their top receiver.
Austin shifts to the left, so still 3 receivers in that direction. Wilson gets the snap. Lofts, right corner of the end zone, and it is hauled in by Pickens. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers!
The call there on the Steelers radio network. So you have George Pickens. That's his first touchdown of the season, and it comes late in the first half of week number 7. All right, so that tells you maybe why Mike Tomlin was willing to make a change. Because he's looking for something different, anything different. Is he going to make the plays with his legs, Russell Wilson, like Justin Fields does? No, Tomlin said that. But he believed in the professionalism and the way that Russ can deliver the football and manage the game now. Again, Aaron Rodgers helping out. And not just Aaron Rodgers, but Garrett Wilson. 2 more interceptions for Aaron, both of them as he's targeting Wilson. But the second one, it was bad. It bounced off the chest of Garrett Wilson right into the hands of a rookie.
Steelers will rush 4. Rodgers back to pass. Rodgers looking, has a man in between, open. Now it's picked off by Beanie Bishop, bobbled up in the air as Bishop will take it. He'll cut back to the left, looking for room. Crosses the 10, crosses the 15, crosses the 5, and gets down to the 1. He's dragged down by Davante Adams at the 1-yard line. Quarterback sneak, Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson, no signal yet. No signal yet on the quarterback sneak.
That's a touchdown.
The Steelers think they've got a touchdown. Still waiting. Officials have not called anything yet. Spencer Anderson says it's a touchdown.
There you
now
go.
The officials agree. Yeah, Spencer Anderson says, that's right. We knew it was a touchdown, and it is a touchdown.
14 points off turnovers for the Steelers, and you'll take the spark anywhere you can get it. And it just went from bad to worse for the Jets. They end up having a 35-yard field goal blocked by the Steelers, and Russ and the offense able to pile on. Najee Harris, another huge game, 21 carries, 102 yards and a score. Pickens over 100 yards with his first touchdown. So yeah, this is what the Steelers needed. Extra opportunities courtesy of the Jets, absolutely. But whatever it takes to settle into a groove. So Russ goes 16 of 29, 264 yards, three touchdowns between the two he passed and one on the ground. And yeah, after that first quarter, looked like the type of quarterback that the Steelers have been looking for.
I thought he was excellent. I thought he got better as the game went on, man. But I'm not surprised by that, man. It's been a while since he's played some ball. But I thought he settled in, knocked the rust off, man, and distributed the ball around and played well.
My old mental coach who passed away a couple of years ago used to always say, you know, stay the course. You know, and I think coming into this game, you know, we had a couple of things early that we could have had. You know, I felt like it was playoff baseball. I said out there, you know, it's, you know, in the sense of, you know, I started off 0-for-2 and but felt like, you know, I was going to get hot. I kept telling coach, hey, I'm going to get hot here.
Thought we got stronger as the game went on in all three phases, man. We made plays in all three phases. Last night we talked about A-player performance, particularly on stages such as this, primetime television and so forth. And I just thought we had a lot of guys that displayed A-player characteristics.
So the Steelers maybe found that rhythm. We'll see if it extends week to week. Momentum is fleeting in the NFL. But after that first quarter, Wilson validating Tomlin's faith in him. The run game, though, is critical. Can't overstate that. And obviously, the special teams, as well as the defense, the Steelers can beat you a variety of ways. But the defense and the special teams have been terrific most of the season. 5-2 now on top of the AFC North, though the Ravens play tonight at Tampa and could join them at that same record. As for the Jets, well, a visibly frustrated Aaron Rodgers actually talked about how the Jets weren't what they needed to be long before the game started.
For whatever reason, today it just kind of seemed a little flat in warm-ups. I mean, Sunday Night Football on NBC, only show on TV. I live for these games, and I just don't quite understand why the energy was a little bit flat. We got to somehow keep the belief in the locker room and start a run. You can't win 10 in a row unless you win the first one, so we got to be very critical of ourselves, each of us individually, tomorrow, and then come in with the right attitude all week and go to New England and get a win.
Yeah, he was frustrated, all right. Fourth down play where he thought they might catch, I think it was too many men on the field, thought they might catch the Steelers and get a penalty and an automatic first down, but couldn't get the guys lined up, so he's ripping off his chin strap and he's marching over to the sideline, yeah, really frustrated, and calls out the team for not having the energy that he expected them to have or that they should have for a big game on national TV. Forget that. How about just a game to get out there and win, to do something to turn your season around, because it is getting late early for the New York Jets. Now at 2-5, and that's the same record that the New York Giants have as well. But this was a different game on Sunday because Saquon Barkley returned to MetLife Stadium and to the team that drafted him and gave him his first opportunity. And of course, you knew that he would get the ball early and often, and he did. Early in the second quarter, a handoff for 55 yards. He rumbles up the left side, and that was really just the start. Of course, they wanted him to find pay dirt.
Hurts gives it to Barkley. He pushes. He shoves. He is into the end zone. Touchdown! His fifth rushing touchdown of the season.
Yeah, you get him going downhill. You line him up in the pistol behind the quarterback, and you get all these big guys just shoving the pile. Saquon in for the touchdown.
That was the first touchdown of the game, actually, because there were no points in the first quarter between the Eagles and the Giants. New York just couldn't sustain any type of offense. They go 3-and-out right after that. And Philadelphia being aggressive because the Eagles feel like now they're getting healthy. They've got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, who didn't have a whole lot of work. But Saquon Barkley, the way that they're able to use that offensive line again when it's on a fourth down or a goal line opportunity where they can use the tush push regardless of what down it is. But yeah, you can see these Eagles getting bolder now as they get healthy and the guys are in sync again.
Hurts takes the snap. He's back. He steps up. He lets it go, and it is caught in for the touchdown, A.J. Brown! They'll go brotherly shove once again. They push and they shove Hurts into the end zone. Touchdown. They've got it. Rolling around the back of the end zone was A.J. Brown. Now he stops and he hugs Lane Johnson. So the Eagles have the third touchdown of the game, and Jake Elliott comes on the field to try to make it a 21-3 game.
A.J. Brown is feeling it, and he's happy, and he's streaking down the field to be able to catch that 41-yard chuck from Jalen Hurts, who actually was under pressure on fourth and three, but it turns out that it was a perfect pass to A.J. So it's back-to-back touchdown drives before both sides end up bailing out. They put in backup quarterbacks, and it really was extremely lopsided. Both 10-play drives that end with Jalen Hurts touchdowns from 1 yard out with the helpful pushes of the Tushy from behind. And the Eagles, not only do they get a big win, but Saquon goes off. 17 carries, 176 yards, and a touchdown. Philly nearly hits 270 rushing yards. The defense has 8 sacks and 11 quarterback hits. They go 3-for-3 in the red zone offensively. I mean, this was as complete a win for the Eagles as you could ask for. Whether or not it's against the Giants, it's still a division win. And so for Saquon Barkley, he's relieved that it's in the rearview mirror.
Thankful for the organization, the team that drafted me. Still got nothing but love and respect for all the guys over there. But I'm happy to be Eagle. And most importantly, we got a win today in division.
Actually, what he said before that, I heard it on my drive into work. I'm just so glad this game is over. I'm so glad that I don't have to talk about it anymore. He actually said, I'm hoping that there will be no more questions about the Giants. I was thankful for my time there. You know, I'm glad that they gave me an opportunity to be an NFL running back. But now my future, well, my current and my future are with the Eagles. So I appreciate him saying all of that. But also you could hear the weariness in his voice. I'm tired of people asking me this question about the Giants. It's over and it's done with. Oh, what about Brian Daboll? What did he say to Saquon?
I say congratulations to him. I just saw him after the game real quick. He was surrounded. I waited for him for a minute and told him congratulations. We had a good game.
So the Eagles move to 4-2. Giants fall to 2-5. So yeah, for New York football fans, whether you're coming or going, it's kind of dismal right now. However, that's not the case for all of the teams. There was a championship game 5 on Sunday night for the New York Liberty, the Minnesota Lynx in the WNBA, and into overtime. This is a great game if you were paying attention. I know there was a lot going on, Major League Baseball, NLCS, as well as Sunday Night Football. So yeah, for New York sports fans, it was a little bit of sensory overload. But the Minnesota Lynx, while they did push the Liberty to the brink, ultimately, Liberty able to win. Jonquil Jones ends up as the MVP of the finals for the Liberty. Sabrina Ionescu, she didn't do a lot of scoring in this game, though she, of course, had a couple of humongous shots earlier in the series, including the game winner for, was it game 3, I believe. But she was over the moon excited about the chance to be a champion.
Just did whatever it took to win. Believed in my teammates. Believed in this entire organization. It takes everyone. You don't do this alone. And God, we did it in New York.
She was fired up. Some of the fun videos out there for Sabrina. She's a superstar. She was a number one overall draft pick by the Liberty. Then they bring in Breanna Stewart so that they can challenge for a title. They got close last year, lost to the Aces, and now this season are able to see it through. And there were, yeah, lots of shots, couple of overtimes, big momentum shifts that you saw between the Lynx and the Liberty. Although Cheryl Reeve is not so sure it was all left in the hands of the players.
I know all the headlines will be Reeve cries foul. Bring it on, right? Bring it on. Because this was stolen from us. Bring it on.
That's Cheryl Reeve, the head coach of the Lynx. And she did spend most of her postgame press conference blasting the officials and the series, and actually said this bleep was stolen from us. There was a late challenge. I don't want to get into the weeds on it, but there was a late challenge of a call, of a foul call that the Lynx wanted to challenge and believe that they were in the right. ultimately, it went the Liberty's way. And with that, there were a couple of free throws that were handed to the Liberty. And so they were tying. They tied the game. Then it went into overtime. And yeah, it is frustrating. And there are a lot of people that have been pointing to the officiating for the WNBA throughout the course of the playoffs. Here's all I will say. You just want it to be equitable on both ends. However the officials are calling it, teams have to adjust. That's just part of sports, as long as it's equitable on both ends. But also, and this is something new for the WNBA, there are a lot more eyeballs on the league and on these series now. And so if these are not your best officials, you should go out and find your best officials. If you have to poach them from other leagues, whatever you have to do, with all of the extra attention, with TV viewership skyrocketing, the WNBA cannot afford to have low quality or less than their best when it comes to the officials in stripes. So if that means putting them through paces, more training, more rigorous evaluation, whatever that means, you don't want this series or any playoff series to be marred by people bitching about the officials. And it was a relative firestorm over officiating. And so important for the WNBA to take that into account and step up their game when it comes to which officials they use and how and when. Because there's going to be a lot more attention on them, especially as Caitlin Clark and the Fever get better and potentially get into a WNBA finals themselves moving forward. But congratulations to the Liberty. The Yankees, they're the baseball team that will have the chance to compete for a World Series in New York. We'll try to squeeze in some baseball at the back half of the hour. But a lot more football to get to. At A-Law Radio is where you can vote for Monday MVP. And it does include a Saquon Barkley in a triumphant return back to MetLife Stadium. But also a Russell Wilson, who found his footing and was able to lead the Steelers. And maybe shades of what the offense can be, because they've got weapons around Russ, as long as they're aren't the crazy turnovers and the poor moments where he holds onto the ball and takes the sacks when he doesn't need to as a veteran QB. We've got a Lion in there as well as a Seahawk. Why? Well, it was Kenneth Walker's birthday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you on the Infinity Sports Network.
Second down, goal to go. The football is whiskers away from the end line. Kareem Hunt gets it. Powering in on the right side. Touchdown, Kansas City, Kareem Hunt, his second touchdown in his reborn career with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kareem Hunt stays in at running back, ball on the short side, right side of the field. And near hash, Humphrey gives it off, counter play, inside, Kareem Hunt dancing and diving, and Kareem Hunt, touchdown, Kansas City.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When you see the Chiefs scored 28 points against the Niners in the Bay Area, you might not know that the beginning of the game was relatively inauspicious. Featuring a fake punt dialed up by Andy Reid that got snuffed out very quickly. Snuffed out by the San Francisco 49ers. A pair of interceptions for each of the defenses. It wasn't a banner first quarter, a banner start.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
For either team offensively. And honestly, the way the Niners continue to juggle bodies in and out and the number of injuries that are still piling up for them, sometimes you wonder how it is they're able to put any points on the board. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So in the second quarter, there were back-to-back touchdown drives for Kansas City, and they find some momentum there. Mecole Hardman, now that he's back and he's healthy, he is terrific. And you can see, once again, the versatility that Reed can use and the way that they can put him in a variety of situations. He'd come off IR last week, but this week a lot more effective. They used him in the run game. They used him as a punt returner. He was picking up chunk yardage in a variety of ways. And then the power of Kareem Hunt at the goal line. Also a terrific story, finding redemption now in his second tour with the Chiefs. Remember, he'd missed their Super Bowl runs. He was with Cleveland. He got drafted by them. They cut him over a personal issue, of course, and Now that he's back, he's talked about being more mature and knowing how to handle his success, but also making better choices and just wanting to be part of what the Chiefs are doing. So, yeah, his power and his skill at the goal line is amazing. You hear the two touchdowns there with Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. So Kansas City was up just 14-6 at the half. And then starting out the second half, we see Mahomes try that deep shot on a speedy post route for Xavier Worthy, who is able to outrun everyone. That's not the issue. Mahomes, he actually, I think it was Aaron Andrews who reported this on the broadcast, is talking about how he's got to hit him. He's got to be accurate when Worthy is able to break free of the defense because nobody can keep up with him. But on that first snap offensively for the Chiefs, Mahomes overthrows him. Even though he's behind the defense, Mahomes can't connect with him. So then he tries to go to him again. This time it's more of an out route on the right side. And instead, Worthy falls down. And Mahomes throws the interception, and that leads to a short field for the Niners, and Brock Purdy is able to get in with the touchdown, and then it's right back to a two-point game, and you wonder, well, what about the Niners? Can they force this kind of in their style and use that defense to take the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, maybe try to eat up some clock by using Jordan Mason and their run game? But unfortunately for the Niners, Deebo Samuel was sick, so he ultimately didn't play many snaps in this game. Brandon Ayuk gets hurt, and they fear it's a torn ACL, which will be another massive loss. They don't have Juwan Jennings, still no Christian McCaffrey. They're running guys on and off the field that have very little experience. Either they're rookies or they just haven't been used a lot. And I know Purdy didn't play well at times. He's airmailing balls over the top of his receivers. He's under pressure a ton too. But back-to-back San Francisco drives ending in turnovers when they could least afford it. However, the ball in Mahomes' hand, there's always something that can happen. And late third quarter, yeah, another one of those moments that kind of leaves your mouth wide open.
Mahomes in the pocket. He's going to scramble to the left side and gets by him at the defender, 35-yard line. Mahomes, stop and go run. Still on his feet, 15, 10, and inside the 5. The Tennessee Titans of 2019 are going, we've seen that before. He ain't going to go out of bounds. Mahomes runs for 33 yards, stopping and going, hip dropping.
That's Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. Yeah, he initially feels the pressure as the pocket is collapsing. He manages to get around to the left side and around the edge. Somehow, Fred Warner misses the tackle. He throws a couple of those kind of cheap ball fakes, something that you might see him do when he's chucking one of those sidearm passes or when he's flipping it to one of his receivers. We saw that a couple of times in this game. So he uses that just to get the defense to hesitate enough. And then you've got another tackler that is coming in hot, flies right by when Mahomes kind of backs up with a stutter step. And so it was just one of those that you almost can't believe because he's not Xavier Worthy. He's just out there using the angles, trying the ball fakes, rocking back, and then going again between two defenders and does go 33 yards. So then they're on the goal line and he's able to get in on fourth down. Did you see where he stepped on the chest of the defender? I saw some people suggesting that dude should retire. Yeah. Is that really Patrick Mahomes trucking a defender?
I actually was not trying to like lower my shoulder. I was trying to like absorb the hit because I knew I was gonna be right there in the end zone. And that dad bod, man, just had enough weight on me where he went down.
People do like to make fun of Mahomes and the dad bod. So yeah, those were pretty interesting sequences there for Patrick Mahomes. But all of that made possible because the Niners were turning the ball over. The worst of it, the dagger really, is the interception that Brock Purdy throws in the end zone to Jaden Hicks, a young defender who snags his first INT. And the Chiefs tack on 14 points off turnovers. And really, the last time they got the ball, it was almost like the Niners were demoralized. The Chiefs were able to hang on to it 6.5 minutes. It didn't feel like a whole lot of resistance. I'm sure the Niners defense was gassed as well. But 184 rushing yards for this Chiefs team against that Niners defense. They go 8 of 14 on third down. And for the success of the offense to be predicated on the run game is huge.
Just execution. Obviously, we were able to run the football. That was big. That's a really good defensive line. And the O-line stepped up, and we were able to run it down there. And we found a way to get in the end zone. And when you get in the end zone, you get points on the board. Now it's about cleaning up the turnovers. I think if we can do that, we can start hitting our stride.
Did you hear what he said? We can start hitting our stride. They are the only unbeaten team left in the NFL. And according to Mahomes, he hasn't played well. They end up with a couple more turnovers in this game, two interceptions by Mahomes, one in which his receiver falls down. But still, that's what he's talking about. We're not playing our best football, and yet they are 6-0, and so much of the experience that comes into play. Tom Brady was talking about this on the broadcast, where at this point now, there's not a whole lot Mahomes hasn't seen. And he knows how to adjust. There's not a whole lot the defense is going to throw at him that he can't adjust to. And his ability to extend plays is otherworldly. As for the Niners, Brock Purdy ends up with three interceptions. And not all his fault. He's under a ton of pressure. You've got, again, guys that he's not used to, guys that he hasn't had a whole lot of work with in practice. But it's brutal with the number of injuries they're sustaining and the mistakes, self-inflicted wounds they're making.
Yeah, I think I got to play better for sure. Just with my throws, some decisions. And that's pretty simple. I obviously got to watch the film and stuff, but my instant reaction is got to play better.
The Niners fall to 3-4, and yeah, those three turnovers were rough. You just don't want to put the ball into the hands of Mahomes and the Chiefs any more than you absolutely have to. The big blow here could be the loss of Brandon Ayuk. After the game, Kyle Shanahan said that they fear it's a torn ACL, though they're not sure yet. They're waiting for testing coming up on this Monday. So that was one of the top games on the schedule, and for a while it was real close, and it's just fun to watch Patrick Mahomes play football. So the Chiefs move to 6-0. The Niners fall to 3-4. But that's not the game that you all chose for the after hours game of the week. We'll end with Lions Vikings because it was terrific. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Let's begin with Game 6 of the National League Championship Series.
The 34th pitch from Kodai Senga. Kike takes it the other way into right field. Here comes Edmund. Here comes the throw. It's going to third. Edmund scores. Double digits for the Dodgers.
Steven Nelson on Dodgers Radio. The Dodgers are National League champions. They beat the Mets in Game 6, 10-5. Win the series 4-2. The NLCS MVP, Tommy Edman, 2-for-5 with 4 RBI, including a 2-run homer. It'll be the Dodgers and Yankees in the World Series starting on Friday night at Dodgers Stadium. Now to the NFL. The Sunday night game, the Steelers beat the Jets 37-15. Russell Wilson threw for 264 yards and 2 touchdowns. Najee Harris rushed 21 times for 102 yards and a touchdown. Elsewhere, the Chiefs over the Niners 28-18. Commanders 40, Panthers 7. Rams beat the Raiders 20-15. Eagles 28, Giants 3. The Lions over the Vikings 31-29. Colts 16, Dolphins 10. Packers beat the Texans 24-22. Bengals 21, Browns 14. The Bills over the Titans 34-10. The Seahawks top the Falcons 34-24. And the Jaguars over the Patriots in London 32-16. The New York Liberty are WNBA champions for the first time in franchise history. They win Game 5, beat Minnesota in overtime 67-62. Jonquil Jones was named WNBA Finals MVP.
I could never dream of this. I mean, y'all know my story. Y'all know how many times I've been denied it, but it was delayed. That's all it was, and I'm so happy to do it here.
Jones, courtesy of ESPN. NHL wins for the Kings, Avalanche, and Jets. Joey Logano wins the NASCAR race at Las Vegas. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
small lead. Another 1-2 pitch. Edmund swings, hits a high fly ball. Left field and deep. Nimmo is back on the warning track. At the wall! Gone! Tommy Edmund sends Dodger Stadium into a frenzy.
And the 1-2. Swung on, a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! A three-run home run. The Yankee bench comes on the field. Wow, what a Soto photo. A long, high, high fly to deep right center and out. He's wonderful. Marvelous. A three-run blast by Soto with two outs here in the 10th. And the Yankees now take a 5-2 lead, and they're three outs away from going to the World Series.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Lots of fireworks between the two teams still standing in Major League Baseball. Tommy Edmund, who was traded to the Dodgers at the deadline from the Cardinals, ends up as the National League Championship Series MVP. So NLCS MVP for his record-tying 11 RBI in this series. And that includes both a two-run double and a two-run home run on Sunday night. They also got another RBI from Shohei Ohtani, who's 18 of 22 with runners in scoring position. And the 25th pennant for the Dodgers, which is incredible, right? But their first one at home since 1988. That's Steven Nelson with the call on Dodgers radio as they polish off the Mets in game six. New York did force them back to LA, but they were able to be at home in front of that Dodgers stadium crowd. And now they get to host the opener of the World Series against the other New York team, the Yankees, whose entry into the World Series for the first time in 15 years comes with some incredible fireworks. A Giancarlo Stanton home run to tie the Guardians in game five? Yes, on Friday night, but needing that home run in extras from Juan Soto. And boy, what a loud bat he's had and Stanton has had. Both these teams have the ability to score runs in bunches with very loud bats. You're talking about not just Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, who hit a ton of home runs, but also guys like Soto, who had a career high this year, and Stanton, and others certainly for Mookie Betts, who's had some big hits for the Dodgers now. People can say they don't want to watch this series. It's the two teams that you love or you hate. You probably love to hate. Haven't met on the World Series stage in decades, so it's going to be a treat, I think. A lot of megawatt star power. John Sterling with the calls on the Yankees radio network. They brought him out of retirement just in case they ended up back in a World Series, and now here they are. And as a side note, I can only say for myself that I have a lot of information stuffed in my brain, but earlier I said Juan Soto hadn't been to a World Series. My mistake, of course, he had. I was thinking Giancarlo Stanton, who never did go with the Marlins, but now has the opportunity to go with the New York Yankees. So that doesn't start till Friday. We've got a lot of time to talk about that one. I want to talk about Lions and Vikings and a terrific game in Minneapolis, featuring two of the toughest teams in the NFC and maybe in the NFL. And this was a weird one with some wild swings where the Vikings jump out to a 10-0 lead, but then the pendulum goes back in the other direction, and it's the Lions who are able to capitalize on not just a power run game behind that incredible offensive line, but also a Jared Goff who is locked in these days.
Goff gives it to Gibbs, right side, try to get the edge, cuts it to the 40, 35, go, 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 baby. There he goes, count it down, 10-5, and wow. Go, touchdown Detroit Lions. Oh, baby, that's the man they call Sonic, just dancing his way to the end zone, shaking the Vikings along the way. Man. That is just gorgeous stuff by Jahmyr Gibbs, exactly what this football team needed. Goff on third down. Takes the shotgun snap, back, looking, Goff throwing, caught, inside the 15, inside the 10, to the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions, Colleen Freeman. What an answer by Detroit.
That's a call on the Lions Radio Network with our friend Dan Miller. So, yeah, 21-10 at the half as Detroit is able to score on three straight possessions. Amon-Ra, who was terrific in this game, a 35-yard touchdown catch. And Gibbs, he was all over the place. Jared Goff, once again, near perfect in the first half. He was 14 of 14 to start this game. But Sam Darnold, he's got the ability to make throws as well and thread the needle, and he does that with Justin Jefferson to start the second half. It was a laser for a touchdown. And this is where we get to the point where it's toe-to-toe, and I heard someone describe it as a heavyweight fight. Maybe not in week 7, but these two teams certainly have potential to meet again multiple times. So, yeah, you get the Detroit response every time that the Vikings are able to push back. But Minnesota wasn't done, and it was the defense. That's what we've seen all season long, right? The defense under Brian Flores that continually comes up with these massive plays.
Second and 10, Goff play action again. No, in fact, they're going to hand this one off.
I've listened to this cut a couple of times. That's Paul Allen and Ben Lieber on Vikings Radio. Is it Ben that yells fumble? Because it doesn't sound like Paul. Can you just re-rack it? Because this is funny.
Play action again. No, in fact, they're going to hand this one off. It's picked up by Ivan Pace Jr. inside the 10. Touchdown!
What do you think? Do you think it was Ben, or do you think it was Paul Allen who yells fumble?
It was
perfectly timed.
It was Ben.
And caught him off guard, I think, a little bit. Terrific. Anyway, yeah, they go through the flag, but it definitely was an Ivan Pace fumble recovery for a 36-yard touchdown. They miss on the two-point conversion, though. So that is a bit of a point of contention because now they're just leading by a single point. So Detroit has another possession, and I honestly thought this was also fascinating that it wasn't an aggressive approach by Dan Campbell and his staff. Instead, they're content. After a 14-yard catch and run for Amon-Ra, they run out clock, they kneel down, they set up a 44-yard field goal from Jake Bates. Instead of worrying about getting closer, they're content with where they were.
When you see him every day in practice and you give him the crowd noise and you move the spot and I'm yelling at him and you just applying pressure and to watch him, he just continues to make these kicks. You feel pretty good when he gets thrust into it. And it's not the same, but yet it is. We just felt like his confidence has grown and he would just go out there and it's just the next kick. And he did that. So really proud of him, man. Really proud of him.
So here we go. Hatton to snap. Fox to hold. Jake Bates with a 44-yard attempt, hash mark right side to give the Lions the lead. He's ready. There's the snap. There's the spot. Kick away. It is up, and it is good! Jake Bates sends it through! With 15 seconds to go, the Lions have taken the lead. It is Detroit 31 and the Vikings 29. Jake Bates comes up huge in a big opportunity that might just have sent the Detroit Lions into first place in the NFC North.
It was another massive win for the Lions. And this one on the road in hostile territory. They take over the top spot in the NFL's toughest division. First game without Aiden Hutchinson. So that's also huge. Jared Goff, 22 of 25, 280 yards and a couple of scores. His run game, terrific as well. Jahmyr Gibbs is well over 100 yards. So yeah, the O-line right in the middle of all of it.
You got to give them a lot of credit with what they're doing up front. Frank identifying it, our running backs protecting all day, giving me enough time to get the ball out. It's really a full team effort, and those five guys up front. I think Coyote stepping in, you know, on late notice in the week with Kev and playing well. It's tough, and having all five of those guys play the way they did, it certainly gives us a good chance to win every week.
From a first-year kicker who has the confidence of Dan Campbell, who says he's built for this moment, to a Jared Goff, who's a veteran, a power run game behind a terrific offensive line, of course a defense, even without The presence of Aiden Hutchinson, and that's a major loss. Even without him, you're talking about a tough physical defense. And the entire locker room takes on the personality of its head coach. That's what they do. And in this particular game, that toughness, that tenacity, that ability to find another way to win, to keep coming back, that's what put them on top of the NFC North. You missed my conversation with Luke Braun about the Vikings, what gives them staying power. You can check it out in the podcast. And we're back tonight after a doubleheader. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!